This is Claire and Annie and Matt and Andrea's first Sunday as grandparents. That must be a great feeling. Want to remind you, next week we're going to begin Sunday school again. And I'm very excited about that. I'm going to start out of the Psalms next Sunday. And tonight I'm going to be preaching on Abraham and Lot out of Genesis chapter 13. Some 70 years ago, when Rolf Barnard first came to Ashland, Kentucky to preach the gospel, he made a statement that was actually quite shocking to most of the people who were listening. He said, there are two lies being circulated in Ashland, Kentucky. And I'm sure that got everyone's attention. What are these lies? And he said, the first lie is that God loves everybody. And the second lie is that Jesus Christ died for everybody. Obviously, the implication is that he did not love all men and that he did not die for all men. Now, question, was that statement necessary? Was it antagonistic? Was it inflammatory? Why begin a message like that? Well, the way I would want us to answer that question is, what does the Bible teach? Well, we know the Bible teaches that he did not love everybody because he did not love Esau. Esau have I hated, God said. Thou hatest, the psalmist said, all workers of iniquity. No, he does not love all men. And then Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He didn't lay down his life for goats. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the teaching of the scripture, without doubt, is that God's love is for his elect, and that Christ's death is for his elect. Now, that's just fact. That's what the scripture teaches. And really, if you take that away, you're left with a system of salvation by works. God doing his part, Christ doing his part, now it's up to you to do something to make what he did work for you. That's called salvation by works. Now, all that being said, the scripture also teaches this. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, let me repeat. God commands all men everywhere. That includes me and you. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. God, this is who gives this commandment. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, we are not called upon to figure out whether or not we're one of the elect. Hear that carefully. That's not your purpose, to figure out if you're chosen of God. You're not called upon to know that Jesus Christ died for you. You're not called upon to know that you've been born again. But you and I are commanded by God to repent. At the opening of Christ's public ministry, he began with these words, "Repent and believe the gospel." Before he ascended back to glory after the resurrection, his words to the church were to bring this message: repentance and remission of sins. That's the message you're called upon to preach. Repentance and remission of sins are to be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, when Peter preached on Pentecost, the first gospel message after the resurrection, we read in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were scared. We're in trouble. That's what they meant by that. We're in trouble. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent." Repent. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." I think this is very interesting. When the writer to the Hebrews gives the six foundational truths that we must be grounded in, the first thing he mentions is repentance from dead works. Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now here's the big question. What's that mean? I want to know, don't you? Not only do I want to know what the Bible means by this word, I want to repent. I want to be in a state of continual repentance, whatever that is. "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, when most people think of repentance, they think of a change in behavior. Isn't that so? If you repent, you change your behavior. That's not what repentance means. If I said to have peace means to have turmoil in your heart, you'd say, "That's wrong. That's not what it means." Well, to say to repent is to change your behavior. He's given a wrong definition. That is not what the word means. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for a change of behavior if it's not good. You know that. I want to embody the Beatitudes. I want to be poor. If my behavior is contrary to that, I want it changed. I want to mourn over my sin. I want to be meek before God. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to be merciful. If my conduct is contrary to that, it needs to change. I want to be pure in heart. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. I really do. I want that. I want to embody the fruit of the Spirit. I want to be filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I want to embody what the Lord said when he said, "Treat others the way you want to be treated." I want to do that. I'm all for a change of behavior and anything that's contrary to the Scriptures, but let me say this, that's not what repentance is. The word repent is made of two words in the original, which means change mind. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. Now I want you to listen real carefully to this definition I got of repentance from the dictionary from the Blue Letter Bible. I use that a lot, but listen to this real carefully. Here's the definition, and I'm quoting this. Repentance, a change of mind. And I wish you would stop there. Let's go on reading. A change of mind that involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. The repentant sinner is in the proper condition to accept the divine forgiveness. Foolishness. Wrong all together. For one thing, repentance is to turn from sin to God. Explain to me what that means. Does that mean you don't sin anymore? Does that mean you've finally stopped that sin and now you're repenting? You're insincere. You're not telling the truth. And as far as calling repentance accepting the divine forgiveness. Now, if you sin against me in a terrible way and I say, I forgive you, and you say, well, I'm going to accept that. Oh, I withdraw my forgiveness. It doesn't work that way. Accept forgiveness? I hate it when people say, won't you accept Jesus? Where do you get that in the Bible? It's just contrary. And to call repentance, if I've repented, that means I've turned from my sin. Which sin? That's just dishonest. It's not being real. And I've accepted, I'm in a contrite state where now I'm able to accept forgiveness. Since when do you accept forgiveness? It doesn't work that way. So that view of repentance is error. It is salvation by works. It is wrong all together. That is a repentance that needs to be repented of. If that's your view of repentance, you know nothing of scriptural repentance. Well, what is repentance? God commands all men everywhere to repent. Look in Acts chapter 20. You're there in Acts chapter 17. Look in Acts chapter 20. Verse 20. Paul says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I didn't hold back. And what I said in private was the same thing I said in public. Not a different message. And here it is. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance. What are the next two words? Towards God. A change of mind. Toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way this word is used in our text. We looked at the whole passage last week, but look in verse 30. And the times of this ignorance of God, these wrong thoughts of God, the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, what ignorance is he speaking of? Well, look in verse 22 of this same text. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things. You're too superstitious. The word is religious. You're too religious. Now, superstition is religion without scriptural authority. That's what it is. And that would describe every natural man's religion. superstitious. In all things you're too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Now, what they were saying was, we're covering all of our bases. In case we've left out some God, we don't want to offend him. So we're worshiping this God we've never heard of, just in case he gets offended that we left him out. Now, I love what Paul says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, he's the creator. Seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, that means he's the absolute sovereign of the universe. He controls everything and everybody. He dwells not in temples made with hands. He can't be confined to a building. Oh, this is the house of God. No, it's not. He can't be confined by time or space. He's omnipresent. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he's needed anything. He's utterly independent. He has no needs. This is who he is. Now you repent of any God that's not just like that. That's what he's saying. He's speaking of the living God, and he says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. My thoughts, this is what you referred to a minute ago. This is God speaking. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Psalm 50, verse 17, God says, thou thoughtest, and here's where we get in trouble. Thou thoughtest, I was altogether such an one as thyself. You thought I was like you were. You are, but I'm not. I love what Luther said to Erasmus. This is such a good statement. He said to Erasmus, your God's too human. He has human characteristics. He's like a man. Now, God is other. He said, who will you like unto me? God is other. Men's thoughts of God are too low. Their thoughts of themselves are too high. And their thoughts of salvation are altogether wrong. We have God waiting on men to see how he can respond to what they do, rather than men waiting on God. We have men thinking salvation is dependent on man's will instead of dependent upon God's will. Better repent. We have men seeing God's salvation as an offer and not a gift. Better repent. We see men making salvation an opportunity. God's giving you another opportunity. I mean, he gives second chances and third chances. Here's your chance. God hasn't sent you to hell yet. You're given an opportunity to be saved. And not an accomplishment. Salvation is a reformation of character instead of a creative act of God. Do and live rather than live and do. We've got it all backwards. Believe and be born again rather than be born again and believe. Now let me ask you a couple of questions. Real simple. Is salvation by choice or by chance? Now, nobody in here would say salvation's by chance. Whose choice? That's the issue. Yes, salvation's by choice. Whose choice? The Lord said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Are sinners dead in sins? Or they retain some ability to do something to save themselves? Well, if they have some ability, understand this. Salvation's by works. Mean you're in trouble. If that's the case, if there's something you need to do in order to be saved, you and I will not be saved. The death of Christ, think about this. The death of Christ. Was it for men or was it for God? There's all the difference in the world. Is it for men? He shed his blood for you. Now, how are you going to respond to that? What are you going to do with his death? Are you going to accept it? Was it for men? Up for their acceptance or rejection? Or was it for God? Was it for God? God making a way so he can do something for you. Did the death of Christ make salvation possible, or did the death of Christ save? Did it make salvation potential, or was it an accomplishment? As Elijah and Moses spake with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, they spake of the decease which he should accomplish. Is the gospel an invitation, an offer, or is it a command? God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, whatever repentance is, like faith, it's the gift of God. You repent. You repent. It's because God enables you to, but you repent. I couldn't help when I was thinking about this thing of repentance. I remember Brother Mahan coming to Grace Chapel. And I've told you all this before. He preached. We had 45-minute cassettes back then, and both sides of the cassette wouldn't hold the message. It's an hour and a half. Man, if I preached that, I'd like to see what everybody here would do. Most of you probably get up and walk out. But he did, and it seemed like it didn't last 30 seconds. But he preached this message entitled, Six Stubborn Statements. And here they are. God is either absolutely sovereign or he's not sovereign at all. There's no in between. Men are either dead in sins, completely unable to save themselves, or they retain some ability to save themselves. Which is it? He said election is either conditional or it's unconditional. It's either conditioned upon God seeing what you would do, or it's unconditional. It's the sovereign choice of God. Which is it? The death of Christ actually saves or it doesn't save? Which is it? If he died for everybody, then it doesn't actually save. It's what you do with it that saves. God's grace is either irresistible and invincible, or it can be resisted. Which is it? What does the Bible teach? God's people are either preserved all the way to the end, or they can fall away and be damned. Now, if a true believer can fall away, that means it's up to him to keep himself if he doesn't fall away. Which is it? Now, whatever repentance is, like faith, it's the gift of God. While we all are very familiar with repentance in the sense that we change our minds about things all the time. I mean, there are things that you once felt strongly about that you don't feel strongly about anymore. There are things that you now feel strongly about that at one time it wasn't an issue with you. You've repented. You've changed your mind. You don't feel the same way. That's all it means. Well, whatever repentance is, and we know that it's a change of mind, true, genuine, spiritual, saving repentance is the gift of God. Just like faith is. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to these scriptures. Him hath God exalted with his right hand. This is Acts 5:31. Him, the Lord Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand for to give repentance to Israel. Now, if you and I repent, it's because God gave us repentance. This is not found in the natural human heart as far as this thing of repentance toward God. Here's another scripture. Then hath God to the Gentiles also granted repentance unto life. Listen to Jeremiah. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after I was turned, I repented. When did you repent? After I was turned. Turn. No natural man without the Spirit of God will repent any more than he'll create a universe. Now listen to this. John the Baptist spake of fruit, meat for repentance. And Paul spoke of works, meat for repentance. There's fruit and there are works that always accompany repentance. What do I mean by that? Repentance is not academic. Repentance is not academic. Repentance is a change of mind, and this is a quote from Brother Mahan once again. Repentance is a change of mind that comes from a change of masters. And let me say this, it's not you changing the masters. Well, I've changed masters. No, God did something for you. That's the difference. God revealed himself to you, and now Christ Jesus is your Lord and is your master. And where there is this change of masters brought on by the sovereign choice of God, there will be a change of motives, God's glory. There will be a change of manners. And the point I'm making is repentance is not just academic. Well, I've changed my mind due to some proper information, and now I'm more educated about something. It's not that way at all. There's always fruit and works, meat for repentance. Here's an example. Somebody says, I've repented of salvation by works. Wait, do you go to a church where salvation by works is preached? Then you ain't repented. It's that simple. There is a real change that comes with this thing of repentance. Now, repentance is primarily a change of mind with regard to God. It's a change of mind with regard to myself. And it's a change of mind with regard to salvation. All three of these go together. Now listen to this. This is the words of Job from Job chapter 42. He said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I hate myself and repent in dust and ashes. Where did his repentance coming from? Seeing the true character of God. I'd heard of you, but now I see who you really are. Wherefore, I hate myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Now, I used to believe, I'm talking from my own experience, I used to believe that under the right circumstances, I could get things right. I could do something that would enable me to be saved under the right circumstances. What I meant by that is under the right circumstance, I can please God. I repent of that. A God that I could please wouldn't be much doing. Or with the God that would be pleased with me by something I've done, there wouldn't be much doing. I repent of that. I used to believe God was too holy, too strict. I repent of that. I used to be terrified by God's sovereignty. I don't have any control. I didn't like that. I do now. I love having no control and Him being in control of everything. I used to sit in judgment on God and say, it's not fair for Him not to save everybody, for Christ not to die for everybody. Election's not fair. Christ's atonement for His elect. That's not fair. That doesn't give everybody a chance. I repent of that. I repent of that. I was wrong altogether. I used to thought that God's choice of His people prevented others from being saved. I repent of that. I used to think if all I had was Christ, that would be a scary place to be with God. I repent of that. I don't want to be anywhere else. I'm ashamed of all the wrong thoughts I've had of God. Repentance is not only a change of mind with regard to the character of God. You know, when you repent with regard to God, you take sides with God. You take sides with God against yourself. That's what repentance is. It's being on God's side. Not on man's side, but on God's side. When you repent, you have a complete, thorough change of mind with regard to yourself. Now listen to this real carefully. I think that a key to understand this thing of repentance with regard to yourself is in that statement that's made two times in the book of Hebrews, repentance of dead works. Now what is that? Repentance, a change of mind with regard to dead works. You believe that every work you ever performed prior to regeneration, when God gave you faith and repentance, you believe every religious work, every religious effort was a dead, rotten, wicked work. Have you ever repented of dead works? And seen that everything that you ever did was sin. And that's it. You see, you really believe when God gives you repentance with regard to yourself, you really believe that you are totally depraved. Now, you might have said, I believe in the doctrine of total depravity in the past, but now you believe you are totally depraved. You believe that all you do is sin. You never not sinned. Not one time in your life have you ever been without sin. You believe that your sin is all your fault. You're not blaming Adam. You believe your sin is all your fault. You bear full responsibility for your sin. And you believe because of your own personal sinfulness, you can't look down in judgment upon anybody for anything. And you have, by cause of your sinfulness, no claims on God. You stand before God as guilty. And that's what happens when folks see God. And that's what Job said, isn't it? I've heard of you with the hearing of the ears. Wherefore mine eyes have seen thee, and I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And then what did he say? Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm completely destroyed. Daniel said, when I saw him, my comeliness turned to corruption. Now, repentance is a change of mind with regard to how you see yourself. It's a change of mind with regard to God. It's a change of mind with regard to yourself. And it's a complete change of mind with regard to salvation. Now, what do I mean by that? Everybody, I thought this, you thought this. Everybody thinks I will be forgiven if I fill in the blank. whatever it is. Forgiveness comes through fill in the blank. Now, when God does something for you, you repent of that and you see that your salvation has began with free forgiveness. Not God's response to something you've done, but His response to something Christ has done. You at one time saw no safety in looking to Christ alone. You felt like you needed something else. Now you see no safety looking anywhere else but Christ alone. Now, what is the one sure evidence of genuine repentance? Faith in Christ. That is the evidence of repentance. You look to Christ alone and claim no past, present, or future merit. Christ only. Have I repented? Do you look to Christ only right now? Is He all you have? You have no other claims. If you look to Christ only, yes. You have repented. You are repenting. You're in a state of repentance. God commands all men everywhere. That's me and you. Well, did God elect me? Did Christ die for me? Has God the Holy Spirit done something for me? You don't need to concern yourself about that. You hear? You don't need to concern yourself about that. You really don't. But God does command all men everywhere to repent. Change your mind about your silly thoughts about God. Change your mind about the high thought you have of yourself. Change your mind about the wrong views you've had of salvation. And look to Christ alone. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's blessed name that You would cause us to repent of the wrong thoughts we have of Thee, to repent of the wrong thoughts we've had of ourselves, that we have of ourselves, to repent of the wrong thoughts we've had of Thy salvation, and give every one of us the grace to rest in Christ alone, to be satisfied with what You are satisfied with, the person and work of Thy Son. Teach us what it is to rest in Him. Bless these words for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Dwayne.